Welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present, on history.org. This is Behind the Scenes, where you meet the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. Today I'm talking with Robert Brantley, who is a journeyman in the Historic Foodways Department at Colonial Williamsburg. If we look ahead to Thanksgiving this Thursday, it's also a good time to look back on how our 18th century founders celebrated the holiday season with food. And if I've got this right, Thanksgiving wasn't much of a big deal in the 18th century.
Not from my understanding, it was not. Thanksgiving could, you know, happen really at any time of the year, but if you had any sort of a gathering as such, you definitely are going to have, being here in Virginia, Virginians like their food. I mean, that's one thing about the Chesapeake. You don't hear a lot about, you know, famines as such. So, exactly.
After Jamestown, no, there wasn't.
Exactly. You can't go anywhere but up from that point on. But, it's going to be a very festive time. Definitely food is going to be play a big part of that. People gathering. Socializing, which seems to be that a lot of the elites in Virginia, you know, your Peyton Randolphs, your George Withs, dining and entertaining is pretty much one and the same word to them. Mm-hmm. In that case.
Now, I've heard different things about Christmas, but they said Christmas was more a food holiday than Thanksgiving was a food holiday because we hadn't yet developed the lush gift giving. So it was kind of a feast day.
You're definitely on target on that case. So the Christmas Day itself was almost a subdued holiday. It's a day that you go to church. You may sing some more secular Christmas carols. Things like Joy to the World, you know, are going to All Come Ye Merry Men. You might see that in church, the church decked out in some sort of greenery, and then you see a lot of diary entries of just going to church, having so-and-so over, and then having dinner. It's December 26th all the way up to January 6th. That's when Virginians really pulled out the stops. That's when you see Twelfth Night parties happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's a downtime for these folks. Your crops are already been harvested. Here in Williamsburg, the colleges, out for, the season. So there is a lot of downtime that these folks can really, have a good time and have family over and, friends and socialize.
Not much downtime at Thanksgiving time, though. College is still in session, isn't it? Or am I completely wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. When it comes to Thanksgiving, you're absolutely right that case. But as far as the date that we associate with, of course, that date of Thanksgiving is much, much later in time. I believe it's during the Roosevelt administration that you see that date that we think of. But then again, it goes back to the Lincoln administration that you start to see the Thanksgiving of all that we think of today, that process.
But you're Thanksgiving,
right.
As we think of it,
mm-hmm.
we think it dates from the Pilgrims, when the Pilgrims had their feast with the Indians.
Yeah, I see where you're going, yeah.
And it's just, we didn't have that. So there was no secular reason, as it were, to have a feast that day.
Yeah.
Although it's always nice to have a feast.
Oh yeah, it's giving thanks. You may have had a successful member, brought into your family, you had a good crop that season. It was some reason that you want to give thanks. So yeah, there is some religious ties to that, earlier, but it hasn't become the secular national holiday. You're absolutely right.
Well, the secular national holiday, as far as Virginia is concerned, I have been told, came when John Fitzgerald Kennedy recognized Virginia's Thanksgiving at Berkeley's 100 or something like that.
Berkeley Plantation, 1619, if I'm not mistaken.
I can't argue with you, so I'll just take it as
true. There's been other. We as Virginians, we claim that we had the first Thanksgiving long before the Pilgrims ever did. But then you get others down in the Texas and Florida with the Spanish and claim say, oh no, we were had our day of Thanksgiving long before the English ever arrived. So that's the big debate. Who had the first Thanksgiving?
18th century. What were the dishes? It wasn't cranberry sauce out of the can.
No, it was not. There really aren't any dishes associated as such. really, if you're a Virginian, you're at that dinner table, you're going to have multiple different multiple dishes. You might have a roasted, you possibly might have a roasted turkey, you might have a roasted goose, you might have a piece of roasted beef, it might be rockfish. Sometimes you see oysters, rockfish, other seafood, and with sweets that we would consider as desserts, let's say like maybe an apple pie or some sort of fruit pie might be on the table, a baked custard such as we think of a sweet potato or a pumpkin pie. We would see nuts covered in sugar or sweetmeats, which is really anything that's been preserved in sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have like marzipan there. You might have jellies, what we might think of Jell-O as well.
How about venison? I just thought of that.
Depends upon where you're at. If you're here in this part of Williamsburg, if you're in any area that has been heavily settled since 1607, and looking at zoo archaeology, we don't see a whole lot of venison in the Williamsburg area or even Yorktown because this area has been pretty much hunted out. It's been very settled, and there is the attitude that once you become settled, you start going to something that you can raise on your own, something that you know is there. It's a little bit more dependable, and that really is a trend in America as we begin to move westward. As soon as we put our roots down, elk, moose, or buffalo's great when you get it, but I know where my cows, my pigs, and my sheep are at.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't see a whole lot of venison as such. You see it playing a part of one's diet in the Chesapeake, but really looking at the trash pits here in Tidewater, Virginia, it's really beef.
Mm.
Beef is what we're coming up with as far as a number, as far as, remains.
How about lamb?
Lamb's third.
Oh, really?
As far as if you're looking at numbers.
Yeah.
And then pork is right behind beef.
Goose was still big, you said.
Very much so, yeah. That is something we do see is with Christmas time. We do see that kind of turning up, that a goose on Christmas Day. We do see references to that turning up as well.
Well, isn't goose an English dish or a British dish?
It is one of those things that is brought over from Britain to here, you bet. It is definitely one of those things that we associate with being British, especially going back to the Dickens novels, in that case.
I think that's probably heavily, where I remember it from.
Probably so, yeah.
Are the methods of preparation more or less the same as that we would recognize now?
I would say yes and no, because one thing that most of us in modern day America, we don't have to deal with necessarily is the actual prepping of that piece of meat or vegetable. Because when we get that Thanksgiving turkey, the hardest chore for us is to remember to pull it out maybe 3-4 days to let it thaw. In the 18th century, if I'm here in Williamsburg, I'm going to walk down to the market, which is where the courthouse and the powder magazine, and I'm going to be looking at live poultry.
Uh-huh.
So I have to physically take this live bird back, maybe in a basket or secure it somehow, get it back to that property, and then you've got to dispatch it. You've got to kill it. You've got to plug it. You've got to gut it. So you've got to go through that process, which I think most Americans just have never experienced that.
And wouldn't do.
The bird just became the family pet, as I like to say in the kitchen, because some people just, it's not part of the culture. Your fruits and vegetables might still have the dirt still hanging off of it, so they aren't nicely washed and arranged like we're going to see it today. But as far as cooking techniques, certainly. Most Americans, when they cook that either goose or turkey, it's in an oven, but we call it roasting. An 18th century person, if you told them that you were roasting the turkey, they would automatically assume it was in front of the fire, on a spit in front of that fire. That is roasting to an 18th century individual, not what we do in an oven. We carry the term over, but not the actual process. We kind of have lost that, unless you have one of these countertop rotisseries that you see, with the infomercials that you see out today.
So I guess the only place you see a spit now, or the only place I've seen a spit now, is on a grill.
Exactly, absolutely. You see those nice little, spits off to the side, or maybe your local grocery store chain in their deli section, they may have these, large ones with all the chickens, turning about with some sort of heat source in there. That is truly a roasted piece of meat, yeah.
Something else just occurred to me. If you take the goose home. The goose is alive now.
Exactly.
Squawking at you. How long would it take you to prepare a dinner? Now, dinner in those days is earlier than it is now.
You're right? Absolutely right. It's in the afternoon. Generally, you see anywhere maybe 2 to 3 o'clock. That experienced cook, that since I'm working at the Randolph Project, Mrs. Randolph and her slave cook, Betty, they know how much work it takes as far as prep time, and they may have a target time when they want that first course at the dinner table. So if have family and friends coming in, respecting dinner at 2, then they know that they have this amount of time to get everything done. They know how long something's going to take. Some things they may wait to the last minute. Some things they may get on very early. And through their years of experience, they can time and pull off this dinner at that prescribed time.
I've always been fascinated by that, how good chefs can make everything show up on the table at the same moment. I can't do that to save my life.
For a lot of us, it just seems so. You know, when something like that happens, it's, it must have been so easy. It's just, magic when all this food on time starts coming out. But one of my colleagues who was a chef for 20 years, she said there is controlled chaos going on in the kitchen. So I'm sure Mrs. Randolph and Mr. Randolph, everything comes off very orderly on time. But there was probably a lot of chaos, a lot of tempers flaring to, hurry up, get things prepped and ready to go, even back then.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. Check history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.